I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It is time again for sports, and our very own Tony Cox is here. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai. You know, it's no secret that our president-elect Barack Obama is a big sports fan, and being that he's about to become the most powerful man in the world, you would think his suggestions, wink, wink, about our college football ranking system would be taken seriously. Here's what Mr. Obama said on 60 Minutes last Sunday.
We should be creating a playoff system. 8 teams. That would be 3 rounds to determine a national champion. It would add 3 extra weeks to the season. You could trim back on the regular season. I don't know any serious fan of college football who has disagreed with me on this. I'm going to throw my weight around a little bit. I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, he can throw his weight around all he likes, but will it do any good? Mr. President-elect, you might have an easier time getting a bailout for the Big Three automakers than convincing university presidents and the commissioners of the Big 12, SEC, Pac-10, and the rest to switch up from the system that is currently in place. But let's see what our sports bloggers have to say about that. Joining us this week are Kevin Figures, who blogs for SportsTalkAM570Radio.com in Los Angeles, and Karen Phillips, who joins us from Atlanta. He blogs for TheMavenReport.com. Hey, fellas.
Hey, how's it going,
Tony? Fellas. Okay, make sure that you're here with me. Let's talk about this first of all. What do you think? Can the new president get some movement on this issue, Kevin?
I don't believe so. I think the only presidents whose opinion, no offense to Mr. Obama, but the only presidents whose opinion that matters is the college presidents and the commissioners and the bowl committees. Those are the ones. It's all about money. It's about finances. And when you talk about playoffs, it's always about a bowl feeling they're being slighted. When these teams go out for bowl appearances, they pick up and move the entire school. And so to ask for them to do the week by week when it's normally, if you go to the Rose Bowl, it's about a week and a half long thing. So you're asking it to move an entire school from 1 week and then have another week where they move and another week where they might not. There's a lot of money and a lot of sponsors that are going to be upset about that. So I'm not pretty so sure that's going to happen.
Kevin doesn't sound like he's for this. Karen, what about you?
I'm actually for it. I think Barack could actually do it. I just think it's bad timing right now because Disney just bought the rights to the BCS. So the BCS games, along with everything being on ESPN, will be aired on there until, I believe, 2014, and they just paid $125 million for it. We look at what President Bush did with the steroids in baseball, and he threw his weight around with that and actually, you know, got Congress and went not involved with baseball. So I actually think he could do it with college football and do something with the playoff system, but I just think with the timing of them signing that new contract, I don't think it will work right now. But if he gets elected 8 years and Michelle does, maybe we possibly can.
All right, well, Barack Obama might be the next leader of the free world, but this is, as you say, Kevin Figures, college football. That'll be a real test. We'll have to wait and see. So, moving on, fellas, it seems like every week a sports figure says something that gets him in hot water. Last week, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb did not know that a pro football game could end in a tie. That's after his team tied with the Cincinnati Bengals 13-13 on Sunday. Took a lot of flack for that, but apparently a lot of guys in the NFL don't know the overtime rule either. So the question, Kevin, is shouldn't the quarterback, the team leader, know better?
You would think so, especially a veteran like Donovan McNabb who's been in the league for, I believe, 11 years now?
Yeah.
So he should definitely know what the rules are. And you know that he's been in the league a long time. He's a veteran. He's played against a team in the postseason against Michael Vick, a Falcons team that actually went into an overtime game. So when you know that a team was 9-6-1 that you played in the postseason before, you have to know what the rules of the game are. I realize these guys are athletes, and a lot of them really don't pay a lot of attention to external things like that. They're so focused in the game and trying to win, and they don't really recognize all of the rules, so I can kind of see that. But in a certain way, if you're the team leader, you need to know what situations your team needs to be in order to win or to prevent overtime or to prevent a tie.
Now, in his defense, Karen, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger says he thinks about half the guys in the league also don't know the rule. But McNabb, who's already under fire for Philly's 5-4-1 record, which is dead last in the NFC East, didn't help his popularity with such an uninformed comment, especially coming from him. Is he headed out the door now in Philly?
I believe he is. Ben Roethlisberger took up for him, but like he said, 50% of the guys in the league. But 50% of the guys in the league aren't the face of their franchise like Donovan is. I mean, he's the Campbell Soup man. He's been the face of Philly for, like Kevin said, for 11 years. Donovan has to know that if you go in overtime, nobody scores. It's a tie game. And I think with this latest thing, he just put the nail in his coffin in Philly, and I don't expect him to be back next year.
Well, I guess the bottom line, though, is should there be ties in pro football? What do you guys say?
No.
I don't believe so.
There shouldn't be ties in any sports, period.
No, there should be a winner. There should always be a winner. Why do you play the game to win?
Okay, I'll accept that. All right. Let's move on, guys. Quarterbacks, oh, quarterbacks. Let's talk about Matt Ryan. Kurt Warner is on fire. Brett Favre has the Jets believing again. But, Karin, no quarterback has perhaps turned the mood around more dramatically than Matt Ryan down there in Atlanta where you are. The Falcons are only 5-4. But folks are pretty excited about their team, aren't they? Especially after all the stuff that happened with Michael Vick.
Yes. Matt Ryan has the fans coming back to the Georgia Dome down here. Everyone's a fan. People are cheering for the Falcons. But we still haven't forgot about Michael Vick. For us, with more melanin in our skin, we still remember how the franchise did him. And the thing is, Roddy White and Michael Jenkins are having great years this year for the Falcons. Roddy White will probably be a Pro Bowler. But the thing is, and our question down here is, Michael Vick threw you these same passes 2 years ago and you dropped them. This year, Matt Ryan are throwing you these same balls and you're catching them. So why couldn't you catch these same balls for number 7?
So the folks who were supportive of Michael Vick are still supporting him. They're not wearing his T-shirts, his numbers, to the games anymore, are they, Karin?
Not necessarily. You're seeing more number 2 jerseys, the Matt Ryans in the building, but, you know, it's still there. People still miss Vick. Matt Ryan, as good as he is, I've been a fan of the guy since Boston College. I really want the guy to succeed, but nobody sold out the Georgia Dome like Michael Vick did.
Okay, you okay there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, something fell.
Okay, that's all right. We just want to make sure you're doing okay. That's the ghost of Matt Ryan after you. Let's talk about Kerry Collins for a moment. He isn't getting a lot of the credit, but Kerry Collins, once he stopped bouncing around from team to team, has taken the Tennessee Titans, Kevin, all the way to the top. As Boomer would say on ESPN, can he go all the way?
Absolutely. He's done it before. He's won everywhere he's gone. They took the Carolina Panthers to the NFC Championship game. He went to the Super Bowl with the New York Giants. He had some down years in Oakland, which who doesn't lately? So, I mean, he goes to a situation where they run the football, they play great defense. All he's asked to do is to manage the game. And then when he's actually put in a situation where he had to win the game last week, he did that with 3 touchdown passes in the second half. So I think Kerry Collins is a guy that you can win with. He's very efficient. He protects the football. He's more mobile than people believe that he is. So I think you can definitely win with Kerry Collins as long as he keeps playing the role that he's in.
Well, talking about quarterbacks from another standpoint, Karin, here's my point for you. The guy who rang Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers' bell got slapped with a $25,000 fine by Commissioner Roger Goodell. Minnesota Vikings defensive end Jared Allen was tagged for the helmet-to-helmet hit. But this guy's always in or near this kind of on-the-field trouble, isn't he? I mean, he got fined $50,000 for 2 low hits on the Texas quarterback, Matt Schaub.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm just seeing all these fines lately with these hits, and I think it's football. It's not powder puff. It's not flag. It's not softball. It's football. And Roger Goodell, I mean, he overturned the last 2 that came out last week, but they're treating the quarterbacks like fairies, like Tinkerbells. I mean, your job is to hit the guy. I mean, if it's a late hit, you know, throw the flag, give him a penalty. But you got to let the guys hit each other. It's football. It's a man's game. Let them hit each other.
That's what Hines Ward says. We're going to move on to that situation, too, as well, Kevin, because tonight all eyes are going to be on Pittsburgh wideout Hines Ward in a perhaps revenge game against the Cincinnati Bengals. You may remember Ward's blindside tackle took out Cincinnati's rookie linebacker Keith Rivers earlier in the season, put him out with a broken jaw. A lot of talk about a payback. Do you expect any of that in tonight's game?
I don't expect it. How many times do we hear about a guy saying, oh, I have a bounty out on this guy, we're going to take this guy out? And then when the actual game starts, you really don't have time to think about that. Anybody that's played football knows that once you get in the zone, you don't see a number or a name. All you see is a different color jersey and a guy that you're out there going to hit. If you go out there with the motive of trying to zero in on one guy, that's going to mess up your entire game plan and mess up your thinking for the game. I don't think no matter what any of the players say, and most of them are retracting their statements now about having a bounty out on Hines Ward, those guys aren't thinking about that kind of thing. If they want to win tonight's game, and wins have been hard to come by for Cincinnati this year, so if they want to win tonight's game, I think they better not worry about Hines Ward specifically and worry about the Pittsburgh Steelers as a team.
Let's talk about somebody else that has something to worry about. Adam Pac-Man Jones gets another chance to literally rehabilitate himself now that the commissioner has agreed to reinstate the troubled Dallas cornerback for, what, the umpteenth time? But let me ask you this, both of you guys. Karen, is this different? Should we have more sympathy because Jones's issues with the law may be because of a problem that he has with alcohol?
If you would ask me that last year, I would agree with you, but I've seen Pac-Man out, lived in Atlanta. I've seen his antics, and like I'm, as a blogger, as a writer, I'm tired of writing about Pac-Man. Like, I'm tired of this story. Like, obviously the guy doesn't get it, and I believe people should get second and third chances because sometimes it just doesn't click the first or second time.
Right.
But like you said, Tony, this is the umpteenth time. Like, I think if he messes up one more time, like, I think Goodell's just going to ban him
all
forever.
The way. Yeah, what do you say, Kev?
I agree with Karen. It's too much. I mean, how many times he was suspended? I believe 3 times in just 2 years with the Tennessee Titans. Jerry Jones gives him a fresh start in Dallas, and he goes and messes up again. It's like, how many chances can you give somebody? So I think I'm surprised he's not out of the league now. I'm surprised Roger Goodell has given him as many opportunities as he has to begin with. So I agree. It's overblown. It's done. I'd kick him out of the league now.
All right, let's talk about basketball, gentlemen. We have L.A. and Atlanta in the house, and I want to ask each of you a simple question about your teams in the NBA. Kevin, last week the Pistons beat up on the Lakers, showing that a team – now, this comes from our producer, Roy Hurst, who is a big Detroit guy – in his opinion, showing that a team that has its own legitimate front line can handle the Lakers and that the Lakers might not really be ready.
I'm glad that Roy put so much stock into a matchup in November. That's great. But I think that Detroit's a physical team. They're definitely Eastern Conference contender, NBA champion contender, I believe. But it's early in the season. The Lakers are still gelling. The Lakers are still one of the best teams in the Western Conference. Anything can happen on any one night. I wouldn't take the last week's beating by Detroit on the Lakers very seriously. I think if those teams met in the postseason, it'd be anybody's series.
All right, let's talk about the Hawks. They started out 6-0 this year, doing really well. Now they're 7-4, went 1-5 over their last 1-4 over their last 5 games. Karen, are they contenders, pretenders? Which one?
Right now I'm saying pretenders. When they started off the season 5-0, I still wasn't sold on them. I mean, they're the Hawks. That 7-game series with the Celtics last year, as you see, they only won their home games.
Mm-hmm.
Most of their early games this season were home games. They're young. They're getting better. I'll give them that. They're getting better. Wilson's doing a good job with that team. I like what Joe Johnson. He's scoring. Marvin Williams is doing better. Mike Bibby's running the point. He's running the show for him. But right now, I'm not sold on them yet.
Right,
they are in the East, though, which
they
gives
are in
them
the
a
East.
Better chance.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, let's end it with this. Before we go, we want to mention that this week, 45-year-old Don Wakamatsu became the first Asian-American manager in Major League Baseball history. We want to say congratulations to him taking on the Seattle Mariners. Good luck, though, because that's a team that finished dead last year. I guess there's nothing like starting at the bottom. Kevin Figures, Karen Phillips, thank you both.
Thank you, Tom.
Those are our bloggers. Karen Phillips blogs for themavenreport.com. He joined us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. And Kevin Figures blogs for AM570radio.com. He joined me right here at NPR West.